Welcome back to Rycast. I'm James Stewart. Regular Rycast punters will know I'm pretty well obsessed with the beaches near here. You'll find me at Camber or Winchelsea or Broomhill or Pet most days of the week. But I think this is the first time I've actually recorded an episode on the beach. I'm meeting Joanna Allen from The Humble Warrior, and as well as running retreats and teaching relaxation, she teaches yoga on the beach, and she's going to give me my first yoga lesson. As you'll hear, she's made some pretty big changes in her life, but I don't think I've ever met anyone as chilled out. Let's find out how she does it. Maybe 8:30 on a Saturday morning, but actually, it's quite nice, Liz. Just a few of us around.
Yeah, this is the best time, I think, before the hordes descend. When you've got a private beach, it's pretty lovely.
So, Jo, what's the plan?
So we're going to do a lovely yoga flow on the beach. We're going to start with some breathing. That's the most important part of the whole class, really, is just settling your mind, breathing. And then we're going to go through some movements, just flowing with the sound of the waves. And then, yeah, and then settle back down into our Shavasana, which is our resting pose, so that we take in all the benefits of the movements.
Well, let's give it a go.
Okay, so just settling onto your mats, rooting the sit bones into the ground, crown of the head reaching towards the sky. So the spine is nice and tall, but the body is completely relaxed. Relax the shoulders. And we want to start to quieten down the mind now. So letting go of anything that you need to do for the rest of the day. And just coming to our practice of noticing the thoughts when they come into the mind and just allowing them to float away without attaching to them. Into your chest, give yourself one last hug here, and then gently rolling onto one side, taking a breath in the fetal position, feeling supported by the ground, by Mother Nature. And then when you're ready, pressing yourself up to your comfortable seats, reaching the crown of the head towards the sky. And softening your gaze to the horizon. Taking in this beautiful space one last time. And then bringing your hands to prayer at heart center. Just thanking yourself for taking the time this morning to still your mind, connect with your breath, move your body in nature where we get the most benefit. And then bringing your thumbs to your third eye for wisdom, we bow and say, Namaste.
Jo, that was very relaxing in a slightly stretchy sort of way. We'll have to go in because the tide's about to take in where we're laying out. Gosh, I'm not supple at all.
You're fine. That is honestly one of the common misconceptions. That's why people don't start yoga, because they say, oh, I'm not flexible. But unless you do yoga, you're not going to get flexible. It's kind of like a chicken and egg situation. I was not flexible when I started. I had a back operation, I want to say, let's say 10 years ago, I can't remember exactly now. And I've got metal in my spine, so I've got a metal disc, I've got metal rods. So I'm not flexible at all. My back is not flexible.
You were doing the downward dog, which I've never experienced before, and I was all over the place. You were a perfect V-shape.
Yeah, again, that's just practice. After the operation, I couldn't do anything. I had to learn to walk again. There's no way I could have tied my shoelaces, and now I can kind of get my hands flat underneath the soles of my feet. But I don't know when that happened. Like, it's a gradual process of just becoming slightly more flexible each time you do it. I think that's why it puts people off as well, the gym goers, I say in quotes, because they want immediate results. Yoga is not going to give you immediate results.
So for a chap like me, tall,
yeah,
probably not the fittest bloke you'll ever be working with, how long before I'd be able to do the full downward dog that you were doing just then?
absolutely no idea. It's completely down to your body. It's completely down to your practice, how often you do it. It's a practice. That's what I say. You couldn't say, oh, in 10 weeks, you'll be able to do this. You know, who knows? I think it's just a practice. And it's not about comparing yourself to yourself and what you could do before. It's just about noticing sort of like, oh, I can do that now. I couldn't do that before. And just sort of congratulating yourself just for showing up and trying.
Do you know, I can feel my neck kind of relaxing into it and also making some strange sort of cracking noises too, which I've never been aware of. One thing I really was aware of, and you were talking about it as you were giving your, is it a speech? Was it your, how do you describe what you've just done? The presentation, the...
Teaching.
But when you were doing the teaching, I was really aware of the sound of the sea, the sound of the seagulls. Because normally here, when I walk the dog on Camber or Broom Hill, it's with headphones on or earbuds in, listening to music, listening to radio. Whereas now, when I was aching on the mat,
you're still listening.
I was listening really intently.
Yeah, well, this is the music of nature, and the sounds of the sea, the sounds of the birds vibrate in us at different frequencies. There's many studies now, it calms us down. So just by standing here and listening to the waves, or breathing and listening to the waves, you're calming your nervous system hugely. So yeah, it's amazing. Once you tune in, what happens in the body, like physically and mentally, it's amazing.
Well, it's a bit windy, the tide's coming in. Let's go for a coffee.
We're going to float away. Let's do it.
One of the things that we mentioned when we were on the beach was your back injury. What happened?
It feels like a lifetime ago. It was almost when I first started working, about 20 years ago, that I first injured it. It was actually helping to move furniture in an office, which obviously you wouldn't be allowed to do now for health and safety. And that was the first time I injured it. And then it just got worse and worse and worse over the years. So probably about 10-ish years ago now, I had a back operation. I had to completely have my disc replaced. Couldn't walk maybe for 2-ish weeks, but then it was rehabilitation after that. Definitely couldn't work for at least 6 weeks, and it took, you know, many months after that. So it was literally going from scratch, having to learn to kind of use your body again, which was really scary. You try and protect your body so you don't move, so my back just became completely stiff. I couldn't bend in any sort of direction because I was too worried about injuring myself. It was mostly mental, but it took a lot of physio, a lot of acupuncture as well actually, to kind of release muscles that had tightened all around where the surgery had been. And yeah, it was a right mess. But then I did the stupid thing of, stopping my physio, letting it sort of get weak again, and then I'd have back injury again. And this kept happening. Sort of clicked one day. I was like, it's not a fix. You don't just fix it. You have to keep going at it. Your body doesn't just fix. And so that was when I really wanted to find something sustainable that I could actually, keep my body strong and healthy with.
Well, it's obviously worked, because we were on the beach. There was you in a perfect V shape and me as this sort of slumping sea. How does it feel now?
I mean, it wasn't that bad. I still have sort of twinges. I have to keep my back strong. I have to keep my spinal muscles strong. And yoga is amazing for that. You've got just particular poses that are just for the spinal muscles. But I know if I don't do it, if I slack off, I feel a lot less sort of fit. And it's really weird. It is a practice that you have to just keep up with it. It's just gradual increments. That's why it's not the same as people that go to the gym and they want to, they work out, they do HIIT training or whatever it is, and they want to get a six pack really quickly. It's not that. It's real slow progress, which frustrates a lot of people. People that are not very patient, maybe, and maybe not as mindful, it's not going to be their thing. Like, loads of people say to me, no, I can't do yoga. I hate yoga. It's boring. It doesn't do anything for me, but that's just because they haven't given it time. So, I can't really force them. I always know in the back of my mind, if you actually gave it a chance, you'd get the results you want, really.
Well, let's go back to when you started taking up yoga, because big changes. You weren't a yoga teacher beforehand. You had a really high-powered job.
Yeah, I was working in fashion in London. I was really unhealthy. That was probably when my back was at its worst, because I was travelling a lot, heavy suitcases, heavy bags. As a buyer, you go shopping. It all sounds very glamorous, shopping in New York, etc., which is, it's amazing. I would never complain about any of it, but it's just an unhealthy lifestyle. Early mornings, late nights in the office, you're over a computer or doing meetings with lots of heavy product. So yeah, my back was really bad, and my general health, I would say, was really bad. And I think it's been a real process, because I think COVID shifted everything into high gear from what I was doing to what I'm doing now. It's unrecognisable to anyone who knew me back when I was in fashion. And they were like, what's she doing now? Prancing around on a beach and in yurts. It's totally different, but it's so... yeah, it's just so much better. A million times better.
You don't miss it at all?
There are elements that I miss. Like, I miss a group dynamic of working in an office. Like, I loved my team. My team was my life, really, you know. I think because we would have, I don't want to say shit thrown at us, that's, I suppose I'll say that, almost this kind of bullying culture. Definitely when I first started, you know, I was in the fashion industry for 20 years and a lot has come out. It's not really a secret, I suppose. At the beginning, it was pretty tough. I'm just so much better now mentally. I think the pressure of living in London in that sort of high pressure job and having to just be on that hamster wheel of paying the rent or paying the mortgage, paying the bills, doing it all again. It was tiring, and I can see why lots of people burn out. And there were a lot of people kind of leaving for health issues, and I could see people getting sick and, yeah, just a lot of mental health issues happening and no support, really, because people, again, changing now, I think, but people didn't really understand. They knew that they could burn someone out and someone else, bright and shiny, would be coming up through the ranks who would take their place. So they kind of pushed you to the limits.
And it's a lot of, well, I went through that, so you'll have to go through that too.
Exactly. So they would push you. And some people, you know, could keep going. I kept going for as long as I could, I think. And some people didn't. And yeah, and then someone would be there to take your place. So it was not very nurturing, I don't think, unless you are the type of person who looked after your team, which hopefully I did. I feel that I sort of tried to protect them from what I went through, but it was tough.
Were you doing yoga whilst you were in the fashion industry, or did you wake up one morning and think, I've got to do something, or how did it change?
I knew that I needed to do something. I think at that point, I was going through a really rough patch in my marriage. I think I started seeing a counsellor because I think I was about to turn 40, and I was just like, what is my life? I can't do this anymore. You know, I was just like, it was a real crunch point. I think it's that mentally I was thinking, I don't want this to be my life, and I can't work out what's wrong. I can't work out why I'm so unhappy. And I saw a yoga studio that opened just at the end of my road. I remember it was because it was at night, and it was this beaming light shining out of it, and I just thought, what is that? And I was like, yoga studio. And it was so close to where I lived that I was like, there is no excuse for me not to go there. So I just completely just went and signed up the next day. I think I was a founder member, so I was paying barely anything, which was amazing. I just thought I needed something, so I thought I'd try it. Never tried yoga before. I wasn't really doing any exercise, to be honest. It was more kind of parties, alcohol and shopping. Like, there was no healthiness in any sort of sense anywhere. I was terrible at it. I was absolutely awful, just a sweaty red mess. I was really sort of overweight. My back had probably got to a really bad state again, so I couldn't do much, to be honest. And even if I just lied on the mat and didn't do much, like, I was in child's pose, which is like the resting pose, for most of the class, because I couldn't get my leg to the front of the mat. I couldn't do any of it. But it just felt like I was doing something. And the best part of it was always the end of the class, the shavasana, because it's that 5-10 minutes of lying down and trying to clear your mind. And I just had never done that before. I'd never allowed my feelings or thoughts to come up. I was so busy either working or dealing with something, being in a very anxious state. And when you're in a state of anxiety, your brain is kind of on this sort of higher frequency and you cannot listen to what's going on underneath. And so where I'd been going to kind of counselling and going, what's happening? I don't understand. What's wrong with me? It just all started coming up. Like, intuitively, I started going, I'm not happy with this. You know, this is what's... Like. And it was just flowing out, really. And I did spend most of my shavasanas crying on the mat. And I never cried. Like, I could speak to anyone and they say, Joe doesn't cry, which is weird. Like, everyone should cry. Like, it's not normal behaviour. But I'd just spent years suppressing everything, I think. And so it all just sort of came out. And it just became this time for me to do that. And I'm sure the yoga teachers were a bit worried about me in the corner, because I'd always place myself in the same spot, try, you know, give up at probably the same time and just spend the last bit crying. And they were probably like, oh my god, she's not okay. But also probably knew that I needed that space, because if someone came and did that in my class, I would know exactly what they were going through, and I'd go, right, they need that time. It's just a bit of a breaking point, I guess. And then once I got through that sort of phase of being a complete mess, basically, and actually sort of making some breakthroughs within the counselling and actually understanding what I needed and what I didn't need, not wanting to be a failure to my family or whoever.
It's quite difficult letting go, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy because it's the unknown, and letting go means releasing control. And again, we are control freaks as human beings. That's just what we are. We want to control everything, and you can see that in society. But actually, when we let go and when we let things go with the flow of the universe, getting hippie again, things are better. It's natural and things happen how they should. I fully believe that everything happens for a reason. Unless we try and control it and change it, and then that's when things go wrong, because it's kind of going against the nature of things. I learned to release, I learned to let go, and I'm really good at that now, which I never was before. If something's not working, I go, let's just not do it anymore. And you can see other people panicking, and they're just like, what do you mean, we've put so much effort in? And you're like, yeah, but we could put more effort in and still get nowhere and still have bad results, or we can just let this go and try and do something better. And it always is better, like the green shoots that come through after like a forest fire, for example. The thing that's happening might feel destructive and crazy and out of control, but what happens afterwards is kind of the magical bit, and the, you know, the newness and rebirth, I guess, and starting again. And that's what I did after fashion, and that kind of happened throughout COVID, which was itself a kind of like crazy rebirth of society, isn't it? I mean, it's like we were in some sort of science fiction movie. But I'd like to think that people learnt from that and actually maybe stopped doing the things that they didn't need in their lives. It probably gave people time for the first time, same way of me and my Shavasana, that 10 minutes gave people months to sort of go, right, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And is what I'm doing now what I want to do? And I think we've seen major changes, like lots of new businesses coming through, lots of people saying, no, I don't want to work 5 in an office. I'm going to flex it, work from home, you know, make it work for me. And why not? You know, the economy's still working, isn't it? Nothing's, you know, nothing's gone crashing down around our ears.
Helping other people going through possibly what you were going through, that sense of supporting people, that sounds like it's a really big thing for you.
Yeah, I was trying to think about what it was the other day, that what like gives me that kind of sense of achievement after classes or retreats or whatever events I'm doing. And it's just seeing people happy, which is like, seems just really simple, but it's just so nice. If someone comes in, maybe they're just a bit stressed and you can see that they're fidgeting and anxious, and you're thinking, oh God, they're not going to really enjoy this. They're not in the right frame of mind. But actually, by the time they get to the end of it, they're really relaxed, they may have released something, or they may have just released tension, just let go of something that they don't need, and they're in this completely different place, and you can see their faces look different. It's actually crazy. And they're like, oh my God, that was amazing. And they're talking differently, and you're just like, wow. We need to build that into our lives all the time. You know, we shouldn't do a retreat once a year that relaxes us, and then we go straight back to being stressed and, you know, all tense up again. Because we're not going to be our best selves, are we? We're not going to relate to the people around us in the best way. We're not going to make the best decisions. You can see it. I could see it. I went to London recently and I can see it in just people driving around. They're so angry. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like,
but that would have been you.
That would have been me. Oh my God. Me on the tube elbowing people out the way because I was 5 minutes late to get to a meeting. Yeah, that would have been me. You're conditioned. And actually, I heard this amazing quote the other day, and I'm using it everywhere. And I'm using it in a retreat I'm doing tomorrow. It's from Yogananda, which is just this mystic yogi figure. And he said, we all have a river of joy within us, but we can't access it due to our conditioning. If we can create these spaces, like I'm doing a summer solstice retreat tomorrow, and I'm just going to create a space where everyone can just bring out the joy in themselves, like forget everything that's happening outside, forget all the stress, let's just play. So we're going to, you know, have a session where we're going to make some flower crowns out of beautiful wild flowers, and again do this kind of deep questioning: what gives us joy, what makes us happy, what do we not want in our lives anymore, what do we need to get rid of? And then we're going to have a fire ceremony and burn it all, get rid of it all, and have a dance and release everything. So it's just going to be lovely. I'm really excited again to see how people arrive and how people leave.
You have to be up for it though, don't you? There are loads of people who think this is nonsense.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. And I would say to them, give it a go, because they're probably going to be one of those people that by the end are going, oh my God, I really love that. Or it's also not for everyone. And if you find a different method of release, that's also perfect. Like running on the beach is your release, amazing. It can be so many different things, like painting, you know, going out and painting a beautiful picture in nature or something. I'm always going to connect it to nature because I do think this is just so important.
And how do you relax?
I'm just so relaxed all the time, I don't need to. No, that's not true. How do I relax?
Do you ever switch off?
It's interesting.
Apart from when you're in a session.
No, but that's when I'm not switched off because I'm teaching. So everyone else is having a lovely relaxing time and I'm kind of playing my instrument, so I'm having to concentrate. I will go to other people's sessions to really relax. I'll do a retreat myself because I think that's when I'm going to relax, is when I'm not teaching it. It's quite busy running your own business, isn't it? There's either an event or a class or something coming up that you have to prepare for, or you're trying to market it. That's another conversation I had recently with another sort of holistic teacher, saying how do we protect our own energy and not just giving it all away and depleting yourself and then you're no good to anyone. So that is, yeah, that's an important question, I think.
What was the answer?
It's taking time for yourself and doing those lovely things yourself. Yeah, sort of doing a yoga session just for you, doing something just for you. And yeah, obviously I watch Netflix as well. I'm not a complete weirdo. But
many thanks to Joanna Allen for the lesson and the chat. More details about beach yoga and her many courses and retreats on her website. That's the-humblewarrior.co.uk. As ever, all links on reichast.org. She's given me some really good neck exercises to practice whilst editing the podcast. They're definitely helping. There's less crunching going on. And she mentioned the sound of nature. Well, that's what the next Ryecast is all about. I've been out recording some of the sounds of Rye to tie in with the Song Maps project. You can hear more next week.